Hello, welcome everybody. Are you guys ready? I've got my coffee. I know I am. I got a nice little cup of what I call fake coffee. It's my decaf coffee with my creamer, and I am ready to roll and just kick back and just have some time to really dig in and go intensive with you guys. In fact, this intensive is truly going to bring out the meaning of the word intensive. It is entitled, So You Want to Be a Writer? And so, do you want to be a writer? I sure hope so. I think that you have found just exactly the topic perfect for you. And so I want to welcome you. I want to just do some quick housekeeping. There is a handout that is for you to follow along. But it's more than that. As we're studying, we're going to go through this really fast and really hardcore the first go round. But I would love to challenge you to definitely download these audios and to take some time to really dig in. The more you dig in and make this yours, the more that you're going to find yourself taking away from this. And I really do believe that this entire day is going to be life-changing for some of you. The more intense that you get with this, the more that I believe it's going to make you a greater writer. It's going to help you. If you have never written one thing, this will take you from 0 to 100, I promise you. If you have been writing for quite some time, I think that you're also going to have a lot of takeaways. This is definitely for everybody, no matter where you are. So, what about me? What about me as a writer? Well, I can tell you, I remember that day 33 years ago as if it were yesterday. Literally last month, this was 33 years ago. I was attending my very first women's retreat, and I sat there completely blown away by the things that were being taught. I had been in church literally all my life from the time I was 2 years old, so maybe not all my life at that point. But I'm talking about also not just all those years, but also every time that the doors were open. And I'm talking about my parents took advantage of everything that they had going on. We were active. We were there also at special events in between. I had heard literally thousands and thousands of sermons. I had sat through hundreds of thousands of Bible study lessons, revivals. I had sat in that small Mississippi church and I know I sat through so many different teachings, but something happened to me that one day 33 years ago as I sat in a little itty bitty Mississippi church for a women's retreat. First of all, God showed me that His word was not just a church word. And I hope that that makes sense to some of you. For me, it's part of why I do what I do, because I have found what I found this day, this particular day. And I have been trained up in very deep biblical doctrines and biblical history. But on that day, God brought His word into literally every part of my life. Every part of it. It became personal, living, and applicable. I never knew that God had so much to say about marriage and mothering and work, money, relationships, dreams, friendships, daily living. Oh, and yes, writing. But stick with me. But yeah, I'm talking about everything. Now, you may know this and you may take that for granted, but let me tell you, I have been, again, trained up in church. Again, I was there every time the doors were open. I was there at the revivals. I was there at the Bible studies. I was there, and yet I somehow missed it. You know, but that day, the word became more than just a church thing for me. Hang on tight. Secondly, what happened that day forever changed my life. I knew from the time I was 8 years old that God was calling me to do something super special. I felt like at that age, I couldn't really grasp what He was saying, but I remember committing to Him that wherever He wanted me to go, whatever he wanted me to do, I would do it. For me back then, what was scary was that all the books I had ever read meant that you had to go out on the mission field and become a missionary and live in huts. And I'm not against doing that, except for myself. I just think that would make me a wimpy, whiny person. And so for me, for God to have a call on my life, I just couldn't clarify what he meant by that. Do you know what I mean? But this particular day was literally the day where he knocked on my heart and called me. It was my burning bush moment. I remember coming back into the church sanctuary after lunch and going back over this huge notebook of notes. Those who know me know I am a massive note taker. I do that because mainly it's how I can remember things, but also as I'm doing that, I'm keeping so many ideas that may come back and later be something that I can use in different ways. I have got notes on, you would not even believe how many notes I have on things that I've learned in classes, but also things that I have brainstormed myself. I mean, it's just kind of, that was just me. Surprise, surprise that I would end up being a writer. But anyway, I came back and I was going over my huge notebook of notes and I sat there literally in awe. I sat there in that little country pew just praying to God in thanks and praise for the word that day. It was a hard, hard teaching on marriage, submission, being a godly helpmeet that God created us to be. And I remember sitting there and just, I was so full of thankfulness because that word was just what I needed to see a picture of the marriage that God was calling for me to build with my husband. Being a young newlywed from a broken home, my parents had divorced just a few years before that. I was so desperate to learn how to build a godly home, and here the keys were literally right in front of me all along. I just sat there worshiping God. I was so thankful that I had real answers. Real answers, something I could apply that day when I went home. And then something else happened, something I totally did not anticipate. I was praying and I was asking God to keep teaching me and help me find other teaching that could help me learn how to build a godly home and a godly legacy. In fact, I prayed something that would literally change my life forever. I prayed that God would raise up godly women to teach us how to be a godly woman. And he did it. He said, "Cindy, what about you?" Now, you guys are going to probably love my response. Some of you, hey, by the way, if this is your response today, I'm just going to tell you, we're not letting you stop here. Okay? But here's what I said. I said, "Sure, God, I'll be glad to teach a Sunday school class when I'm 30. Yep, famous words of surrender from a 19-year-old newlywed. Oh yeah, to me, 30 may have never happened. You know what I mean? And so to say, "Oh sure, I'll do it when I'm 30," that was like a forever day away from me. Well, until it happened and I turned 30. But anyway, that was my burning bush. I had no idea that God really meant that he could use me, much less the way that he has used me. I had excuses just like anybody else. In fact, I think sometimes my excuses are many more and much more crazy. But seriously, I was not educated. At the time, I was, again, 19 years old and newlywed. I was putting my education on hold to support my husband as he went to school. So all I had for education was what I got in high school and 1 year of college. I was not qualified. Go back to number one. But surely on godly womanhood, I was just entering into womanhood, much less qualified to teach it. I mean, serious. I had no idea where to begin. In fact, this was way back before everyone had a computer, or much less a computer at home. This was before there was the internet that we know of. No, there was no social media. There were no websites like this. The only people who had anything, I don't even think they had things like that back then. But you know what? I had no idea where to begin at all. I mean, there was just no thought in my brain that gave me a way to be able to do this other than maybe teach a little Sunday school class. There was no money and none on the horizon. I was busy, busy just like I always am. In fact, this week, you should see my schedule. This is who I am. I try to say I'm not busy, but I'm productive. And I do really try to weigh out my decisions. But back then, I was just as busy as I am any other time throughout my life. And I was scared that no one would ever want or care about what I had to offer. I mean, after all, I was some young woman that just got married and from South Mississippi. Hello? And I was sure that every single time I tried to do anything, whether it was teach a class at church or go to an event, the family always went crazy when I would sit down and try to write or try to do something. I had no idea what on earth to write. I had no idea how to make it happen. And, you know, even when I had all those ideas going through my mind, when I would sit down to write or sit down in front of the computer, my brain would go totally blank. You guys, I had no idea that God would call me to write, much less that my story would fast forward to today, be over right at 150 books and also thousands and thousands of articles. I had no idea, no idea that God could do that through me. I don't even know how many magazines I've ever been printed in. I've written, and many of the editors would get like huge, they get access to my folder of different articles that they could print anytime they wanted to print it inside their magazines. And sometimes I got copies and sometimes I didn't. I would go and open up a magazine and see my stuff in it. And hello, it would just be out there. And so who knew that this girl from Mississippi would ever go like that direction? Yep. And by the way, let me just tell you, this is not something that I would have said, oh yeah, I know that this is where I'm headed. No, I grew up, I hated writing. I hated it in school. In fact, it's kind of funny because from the time I was in junior high, I remember my teachers putting me into certain things that I really kind of had no option but to do it. I remember being made the editor of the school paper when I was in junior high and being on the newspaper staff for several years after that. I remember different, I even babysat for my English teacher in high school. And so I was exposed and they poured into me in a different way. They taught me things that that I learned in a junior high and high school that would later be needed whenever it came time for me to do newsletters and magazines of my own and produce and publish my own books. But I'm telling you, I had no real idea that this is something I would want to do. In fact, I remember that I whenever I graduated from high school, I was that girl who thought, okay, on graduation night, as I threw that cap up in the air, I thought, I will never, ever, ever have to do this again. And so there was something about me that I didn't like writing. I didn't like anything about it. I didn't ever see myself as a writer. I remember, you know, writing for me meant most of the time two things. It meant writing on some strange topic that had nothing to do with me, nothing that I was interested in. It meant feeling like my writing was always picked apart and never good enough. And I don't know if you know me very well now, but I do not like being picked apart. I do not like feeling like I'm not enough, that I don't do things well. I want to do things with excellence. And you want to talk about me thinking, oh, this is not the thing for me. When that kind of stuff starts happening, I go a different direction. I can't help it. It's the one thing that I will bail from. And so you can imagine writing did that to me. And I had no inclination that I would eventually become a writer. It was not an option for me. Okay, so if some of you are going, I just don't know if this is for me. I don't even know what made me come to this or to start listening to you, Cindy. I totally get you. I totally get you. Hang with me. I think you're going to be surprised. Let me just give you a heads up. Yes, you can be a writer too. Yes, you. Okay, hang with me. Hang with me. But you know what? Again, I look back and I think about even that night as at graduation where I'm thinking, I will never have to write again. And yet, yep, I went to college, my first year of college, and the first thing they did was they gave us these crazy writing assignments. And even after I I didn't graduate from college then. I only went to 1 year. But a few years later, I found that I was publishing a little sewing newsletter and then writing for my local paper. And now, it's so funny, the rest is now history. I can't even tell you why I actually went that direction. It's just, I believe from the bottom of my heart that some of us, we know from the very beginning of our life that we are called to something and we're called to share a message. And that is exactly what compelled me to go that direction. It was not because I thought I was a great writer. It was not because I had everything that equipped me and qualified me to be a great writer. Far from it. And it was not that I thought that I had ideas that people would be interested in. I was so far from that. I can just tell you, all of the fears, all of the things that hold a writer back, I felt so many of those things. I've never read something that I said, oh, don't have that. No. I am your picture book girl of being afraid, feeling like I'm not the right one, feeling like that I don't know how on earth I can do it. And yet, you know what? Only God can make that happen. And today, I just want to tell you what happened that day in that small little church in South Mississippi forever changed my life. I had no idea God could do the things that He has done, nor that He could teach me the lessons I even needed to be able to pursue my personal dreams. He did not ever, for one moment, leave me by myself to figure out writing, to figure out building a business, to figure out how to have a ministry. He never even left me out and left me alone while I was trying to figure out how to have a publishing company of my own. He was there to teach me how to do it, to guide me all along the way. Now I look back over the last 33 years at a ministry and business that only God can make happen. And when I say only God can make it happen, even today in my business, I've recently come back off of a sabbatical after a divorce. And in my churches growing up, a divorce would have disqualified me from ministry, even if it wasn't my fault. And yet, I'm telling you, only God can restore and set somebody back into a pulpit. Only God can give messages that can have power and anointing. And the bottom line is, I know from the bottom of my heart that He has called you, or you would not be listening. You would have already turned this off. You'd already went a different direction. This is for you. And I have no idea where you are today, but what I do know is that you have a message that only you can share. You. Yes, soak that in. I mean, you have a message. You, only you have the message that you have. Only you can share your message. And let me just say this. I mean, we're going to take a moment. Nobody else can say things the way that you're going to say them. No one. No one else can reach into the heart of that person that you're called to minister to and help them the way you can. No one. The whole world can be sitting around with great talents, with great abilities, but there are people that are waiting for you to step up to your calling. There are people that are needing for you to help set them free to do the very things that are on your heart. Does that excite you? It fires me up. I do know that. That's one thing that I do know about me. And I do know it about you. You alone have a message that only you can share. And I believe from the bottom of my heart that I can step out prophetically and tell you that God is calling you to share your message. You. And that means now. That doesn't mean some 11 years from now. That doesn't mean when you get everything down and everything's perfect for you. If you were to see me right now, you would say, okay, Cindy, this is a perfect example. If you can do it, I can do it. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, my heart cry and the purpose of this whole intensive today is to see you step up to your call and get out there setting captives free. I believe that you have a message that is the answer to someone's pain. It is the answer to someone's problem. It is the answer that they have been searching for. And I believe that God is calling you to step into your calling so you can minister to their hearts and you can help them to find freedom, to find answers. Now, you may have no idea where to begin, but I can tell you, if that's where you're at today, this is just exactly the perfect seminar, the perfect session for you. We're going to dig deep. And I mean, I'm telling you that not only am I going to share where you can begin, but I'm going to give you secrets that are skipped by so many other writers. They wonder what's wrong. And in fact, you may be one of those writers that you don't really know exactly why you're not having the sales that you would like to have, or you're not finding that people want this particular information that maybe you've written in the past. Today, I'm going to give you some secrets. And those that have never heard anything, have never taken a step, all of you are going to get some secrets that I believe are going to set you apart. And they're going to make a world of difference, not only in getting started, but at keeping on, keeping on all through the years. You may have a deep desire to get going and have no money, but I can tell you something. This seminar is just for you. First of all, God never calls you to something without providing every single thing you need. And of course, I'm excited to come alongside of you in this and share with you how you can not only get started today, but you can build a world-shaking, history-making ministry and business literally on a shoestring. If you're listening to me right now, you probably have right there in your hand exactly what you need to get going. And I'm excited to tell you that if you have a smartphone, you most definitely have everything you need to get going. If you want to produce video, most of our phones are geared and they're ready. They are attached to our Facebooks and you can do a video there. You could do a video on YouTube. You can produce audio right there with your free apps. Your computers, they're wired. Many of them have wonderful webcams. They can access the same things. You have got so many abilities to go and share your message. If you have got a simple computer or a simple smartphone, you can type up all those messages that you have and you can put things together. You know, I laugh because I remember my very first articles that were submitted to the newspaper and that were submitted to magazines. Do you know how I wrote them? I wrote them by hand. And I submitted hard copies of my sloppy handwriting and I was published. Hello? How about you? You've got what it takes. And I believe, I mean, if you have to go sit at your local library and use their computers, you have got access right around you to be able to do this. And you don't have to have a whole wonderful publishing company with all of the latest equipment. You probably have everything you need right at your fingertips. I remember buying that first business license, you know, at a time when we were a single income family. I mean, and at the time we were on half salary because my husband was pursuing his dream career in law enforcement. I did not even have a computer, and God provided for me in miraculous ways then and showed me how to build a business on a shoestring. And you know what? When I started making six figures very soon, within the first couple years of being in business, when I first started making six figures, I did not change the way I did business. No, I just had more to give to other people and to pour into other lives. I'm going to tell you that even now, 33 years later, I still use these ideas. They're more than just startup ideas. They're keys to running a business that makes it for the long haul, regardless of the state of the economy, regardless of whatever you have going on financially. They are keys to running a business that and ministry that's more than a shooting star ministry or a shooting star business. We're using principles that are going to lay a firm foundation and grow a world-shaking, history-making business ministry all on a shoestring. So you may not have any money, but hello, today you don't need it. Hello. I have just overcome some of you, your obstacle. You can do this. There is no reason you can't do this. I'm going to show you exactly how to do this. Do not think that you are left alone. I love that you are here because this is the perfect event for you. You may be wore out. You may have tried everything in your strength to get your work published. You may be one of those writers who has a stack of rejection letters thicker than your actual manuscripts. But my friend, it is time to get a different plan. You're going to love this because you know what? Your message needs to get out there, and you may be trying to sell it in a place that God's saying, you know what? I want to bless you. I want to give you the ability that you make that 90%, not a publishing company. I want to give you the funds so that you can do what I ask you to do for his kingdom. I believe he wants to bless you. And you know what? If you've tried everything in the world to get your things published, today is the day to just sit back and rest. Your message is going to get out there. And this is just the seminar to help you get fired, inspired, so you can produce your message and get it into the hands of those who are desperate to read it. You are not going to leave this intensive the same. No. For those of you who have been doing this for eons, I'm talking about you may have been writing and you may be very successful. Some of you may be more successful than I have ever been. But you're smart enough to know that this seminar is for you. You're smart enough to know that you're going to pick up something here that's going to literally make a difference. My prayer is that for you, you pick up something that makes everything easier, that makes it easier to where you can concentrate on your message and not on all the stuff about having to get things out there. It can be so easy. It can be easy for every one of you. And I'm hoping that my purpose of this is to make this so easy that so you want to write, you can write. Do you know what I mean? You know, there are times I know how to write. I know how to publish, but I get stuck just like anybody else. I have times when I sit at the computer and my brain is more than blank. I have so much going on any given day. I am right now pursuing my master's degree. I'm working full time. The master's degree is full time. I'm running my business and it is also more than full time. And so I don't know how some days I have the hours that I have to get things done, but I do know how I get things done. I have to make it the easy way or I cannot do any of those things. I could do any of that the hard way. I've done it. Trust me, I'm really good at that too. If you want to know how to get stuck, I can help you with that. But you know what? I have had more times than I can even count that I've sat down at the computer and my brain has been more than blank. I have had times where I have needed to just get fired back up. I have had times where my writing has put me into a place of solitude, and I love solitude, but I also need like-minded mommy pals and friends to connect with. And that is why I do what I do in this season of my life. It is because, you know, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron, and it is so true. We need each other. We need to constantly exhort one another to step up to the call and to keep on keeping on. The reason that I'm doing these events and the reason I'm doing our community at Stepping Up to the Call on Facebook, the reason I'm doing this is because I believe that all of us need fresh new ideas, fresh encouragement, fresh inspiration, even a fresh, you know what, you can do it. That word from one another. You're going to leave this seminar ready to write, and I can't wait. I can't wait to see the things that come out of this from each and every one of you. So, I have no idea where you are today, but what I do know is you have a message that only you can share. Yeah, only you. You have a message that only you can share, and God is calling you to share that message now. Do you remember the moment that God called you to write? Have you been shying away from that? Or maybe you would describe it as putting it off for the right time. Today is that time, my friend. Or maybe you've been avoiding that call with everything you got. My sweet friend, today's the day to step up to the call. God has a mighty message inside of you, and your message is so needed right now. So what we're going to do, we're going to pull out our Bibles. I want to take a look at a few scriptures as we continue with this session, because these scriptures, I believe, are going to really come alongside of you and help you to step into your calling. The first one, of course, is Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 12. It says there, and this is about the call of Jeremiah. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I've set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? I said, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, you've seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it. Now, I don't know how, was his response. This is Jeremiah. I don't know how. I'm only, can I ask you, what's your only? Soak this passage in for a moment. Can I just tell you that that the Lord has called you. He has put something in you, in your mouth, in your fingers, in your heart. There's something that is there, and he is wanting for that to come forth so it can literally pluck up and break down anything that's not of him. It's there to destroy and to overthrow any of the things that are not of him, and it's there to build and to plant. You, yes, you. Take a look at Exodus 3, verses 4 through 11. I love that. And I really want for you to, I'm going to turn to that real quick in my Bible. Hold on just one moment. Okay, here you go. It says here in the NIV, in Exodus 3, verses 4 through 11, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, this is Moses at the burning bush, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And the Lord said, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And let me just give you a little background. You remember what happened? Moses grew up in the Pharaoh's home. He was one of those babies that the Pharaoh in Egypt had ordered to be thrown into the Nile. And his mother couldn't do it. Well, it ends up that he was taken into the Pharaoh's home. They found him in a little basket in the Nile that his mother had placed him in. And they took him into the Pharaoh's home. And he grew up literally getting that education, having all the benefits of being in the Pharaoh's home. And so as he grew up, the people of Israel were on his heart. When he looked upon them and watched them as slaves there for Egypt, there was something in his heart that was burning for them. And so, as many of you know, he tried to help deliver or take care of one of the Israelites, and he took the life of an Egyptian who was treating him poorly, or treating them poorly. And as a result, he went and hid on the backside of the desert for 40 years, partly for his life, and I think partly from what this sounds like, where he hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. I believe he was also thinking he could hide from God. So let me continue. The Lord said to him, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And if I said that wrong, let me just say, I think that many of these words in the Bible are there to teach your children phonics. Ha, ha, ha. There's no way to know, did we say it right? So if I said it wrong, slaughtered it. Okay, so sorry. My bad. But anyway, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way that the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Don't you love this? I kind of do, because you know, it sounds just like Cindy. Who am I? What do I say? They're not going to believe me or listen to my voice. For heaven's sake, I'm Southern, right? I'm not eloquent. I'm not good, is what he says in verse 10. Please send someone else, he says in verse 13 and 14. And by the way, God got angry at this one. I want for you to think about that one. That God got angry at Moses for saying, please send somebody else. So I know that we're not doing that anymore, right? I just want to say that. No, he was so much like us, wasn't he? He had the same insecurities, the same doubts and fears. He had something on his heart for a long, 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 like 40-year long time. He wanted to see his brethren set free. He wanted to see them delivered from their slavery. He wanted to see them worship God. But he was not stepping into his calling. He had something that he could do that no one else could do. It was on his heart. It was in his hand. He had the anointing. God was with him, doing it for him, showing him all the way, all along the way, taking care of all the details like Pharaoh, like food, like the foolishness of those he was going to lead. He was just like you and I, though. He had just the same excuses. Stick with me. If you want to go back and do some homework, these are great passages to go back to, by the way. But I want to take you to one of my favorite passages. This is Isaiah 61. This one comes from the Amplified Bible, and I love it because what it does is it defines a lot of the words as it goes along the way. And these are some of the words, like if you were going to do a word study, it does it already for you for many of these words. And that's not saying not to do a word study, but man, this is such a great version. It says here, and I believe that here, the Lord, and I just want you to know, this is actually prophetic for Jesus. This is the first message that Jesus taught whenever he stepped into the temple and stepped up to teach. This is one of the first passages that's recorded that he taught. But he's called you to be like him, to be like Christ. And he's equipped you to do the things that he did and even greater things. I just want to throw that out to you. This is about you too. This is about you too. It says in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland, or diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy, burdened, and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished for their uprightness and justice, right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations and renew the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Aliens shall stand ready and feed your flock, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called the priest of the Lord. People will speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and the glory once of your captors shall be yours. Instead of your former shame, you shall have a twofold recompense. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double what they have forfeited. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong with violence or a burnt offering. And I will faithfully give them their recompense in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant or league with them. And their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants upon the peoples. All who see them in their prosperity will recognize and acknowledge that they are the people whom the Lord has blessed, and will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul exult in my God, for he's clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as surely as the earth brings forth its shoots, and a garden causes what is sown in it to spring forth, so surely the Lord God will cause righteousness and justice and praise to spring forth before all the nations through all the self-fulfilling power of his word. Now, is this a power passage or what? Yeah, you are called to preach, teach, and write the good news. You are sent to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. You are sent to proclaim liberty, freedom from sin, guilt, condemnation, and captivity. You are sent to open the prison. You're sent to open the eyes of those who are bound. You are sent to comfort all who mourn. You are sent to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn. A garland, a diadem, a crown of beauty instead of their ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of that heavy, burdened, and failing spirit. My sweet friend, you are called to plant and to root, so that they may be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And so they shall be able to rebuild those ancient ruins, the devastations of many generations. Are you soaking this good stuff in? This is you. This is your calling. And real quick, one more passage. Acts 4:13 said that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I have no idea where you are today, but what I do know is that you have a message that only you can share. Only you have a message that only you can share that message. God is calling you, yes, you, to share your message now. He's calling you to step up to the call. You are the one. Somebody needs you. You. Somebody is waiting for you to come to them, and they are waiting for what you have to share and what you need to offer. Somebody needs that. Somebody's desperate for your help, your hope, and your direction. My sweet friend, will you step up to the call? Will you today just dare to let go of anything and everything that is holding you back? You may be holding you back. And more than likely, you are holding you back. Will you stop? Will you dare to let go of what holds you back? Will you dare to stop putting it off till later and later and later? Because I can tell you what's going to happen. Later is going to come and you're going to think, well, there's so many young people that could do it. And, you know, either we are too young or we're too old somewhere in there. Today is your day. You are perfect. You're perfect. There's someone looking for you right now. Right now. Will you stop putting it off? Will you take the time to just sit at the Heavenly Father's feet and let Him uncover, develop, and equip you so you can share your message now? I firmly believe that this is the time. He's beckoning you to come to Him. Learn from Him. Will you dare to step up to the call and set the captives free? Today is the day for you to step up to your calling. God has a mighty message right there inside of you. Your message is so needed. Yours. Yes, yours. You. Yes, you. Will you step up to the call? Yeah. You can be a writer. You. Let me pray and then we'll take a break. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today and I thank you for this amazing opportunity for us to get together today. And I pray that those who are listening to this on replay, Lord, that they are just having a time where you can minister to their hearts. Lord, I pray right now that whatever excuse could have been holding them back, and I'm saying excuse, those reasons are excuses. Lord, I just pray that today that they will dare to jump over that obstacle just like they're jumping and leaping over a barrier in the road during a race. Lord, that they'll just keep on running this race, that they will dare to get into the game, that they will dare to step up and step in. Lord, I just pray that you will just move in their hearts. I know that you're calling them. And Lord, today, I just hold their hand as they say yes to you. Lord, I just thank you. You're so good. Thank you for calling us. Lord, now teach us what we need to be able to uncover, develop, and share our message. I just thank you. You're so good. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, you guys, we're going to take a break. And then we'll come back for session two, which is uncover, develop, and share your message.